Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everybody, welcome back to The Shift. I'm just recording a small intro because I know that this week's episode is late and I love you all and I'm sorry it was late. I was in Puerto Rico until Tuesday night and then my album was coming out Thursday night / Friday morning. So I had wanted to post this on Friday, but then it got busy with all the album promotion and everything. And so this episode is with V Lins, but also... if you guys have a chance, I'd love for you to listen to the album. I put the link in the description. It's just my full hour stand-up comedy album, and so it's really exciting to have it out there after being in New York for 9 years. So I hope you guys enjoy it, and it should be on all streaming services as well. It's just called I'll Do It Myself, or if you put in my name, Katie Boyle, it should come up. And let me know what you think, let me know if you like it. And with this week's episode, we recorded it before Puerto Rico and it's with V Lins. She's a fantastic comedian in New York City. And we talked about like sexuality as a journey, and she talked about being asexual to demisexual to voyeurism to sort of just going through the journey of these different sexualities and what each of it means. So it was really, really interesting. She was a fantastic guest, and I have all the next week's episode is up on Patreon with next week's video, and then last week's episode will be coming up tomorrow on YouTube. I'm also behind with that as well, but the episode with Jason will be on my YouTube if you guys want to watch it. And then with the comedy album that you'll listen to in a few months, we'll be putting the visual of that, I think, on the label that I recorded with, I think on their YouTube. I'll keep you posted, but that will also include the crowd work from the night that's not in the album. And then even going further on my Patreon, I'll put in the Q&A from the night. And so we recorded that all back in September. Yeah, it was September. So it's really exciting to have it out. And so go listen. It's called I'll Do It Myself. And let me know what you think. And if you can, rate and review it, and rate and review the podcast as well. That helps so much. So if you get a chance, just do that. And other than that, have a lovely week, and I will talk to you next week. Bye. Enjoy. Okay, thank you. Welcome to The Shift, V Lins.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
We have our tea. I also, because when I start, I put the first episode, I had like The Shift back here, and I had a picture of the guest. It was Jason Salmon. And Salmon. He literally, it was so funny. He pronounced the L.
That's what I'm like, wow.
Yeah, he's Salmon, but it's like spelt like salmon. So I'm so used to. But I was shown Brendan Sagalow and he was like, oh, you should put up paintings of tea on the back. So this is going to be my new thing. I'm going to do a different painting of tea each week.
Even if the person don't like tea, the way I like tea.
Oh, my God. That's like a crime.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Every time there's a member in the audience who says they're Indian, I'm always like, oh, the Brits colonized you. Yeah. They colonized us and it was terrible. But they gave us your tea. And thank you.
Because of that, your favorite pastime. Yeah. Because you guys are colonizers.
We love the tea. We weren't the colonizers.
Oh, Britain was.
Yeah, they colonized Ireland.
How did y'all get tea?
They gave it to us.
Oh.
Yeah. That's how it got brought into the country. But they colonized Ireland and they also colonized India.
Oh. But India gave them tea? I think they didn't have it. Tea?
I think they took tea from there, yeah. Maybe they got it from China. I don't know. I just say that and people say, I haven't backed this in any factual. But Ireland wouldn't have had tea before the Brits came.
Oh, okay.
Because they went all the way over there and they got stuff like spices and tea. That would have never.
You think Britain's the reason I love tea?
Maybe. But you know what? It's okay. You know, you have to take what you can get from the trauma. Right. I don't know.
I agree, though. I love tea.
because I mean, I guess they would have colonized America too and brought the tea over here. And that's
there was we that had big, the Boston Tea
yeah,
Party.
They were like, "Fuck you and your tea."
Yeah, but then it wasn't their tea. It was like China's tea.
Yeah. Yeah, they were like, "We're getting rid of your T and the letter O or U from a bunch of letters."
What? That was part of it?
Yeah, and they changed to driving on the other side of the road. It was a way to...
Out of spite?
Yeah, to be like less British or something or less imperialist. That's why Americans drive on the other side of the road.
Wow, we are petty.
Yeah, like Celsius. We use Celsius. I'm confused about that one.
Yeah, I use the metric system or we use the metric system?
I don't know which one you use, but I use Celsius.
We use Fahrenheit.
Yeah, and kilometers. And you use miles.
We use miles.
Yeah. Well, we used to use miles and then we changed over.
Why? Out of spite? Out of spite too?
I have no idea. Yeah, maybe.
Probably.
I have no idea. So I am going to read a history book before the next episode and clarify this tea thing.
Right? Please give me a buzz. Like, actually.
Yeah.
We had it all wrong. But I do love tea.
Me too.
With honey, and I'm happy you offered tea because I always see you guys drinking coffee. I'm like, damn,
yes.
I'm gonna be shitting all over the pod.
Well, I used to, when it was the studio, I just text before being like, "Do you want me to grab you anything?" And every time people would say coffee,
it's a New York thing.
I know,
it's the hustle and bustle. They need that fix in the middle of the day.
I'll have to get coffee for the future for guests if they want coffee. Oh my God, I just realized I didn't turn off the aircon. I'm going to go quickly do it. Love you. Just 1 second.
No problem. It is toasty in here.
I know.
And we're drinking hot tea. It's making
this will be good for the patrons. What I'm going to do is stick on the fan for us.
Okay.
Because Leland said it doesn't come true. Okay, that's perfect. Okay, I've put on the fan.
Do you see the sweat dripping from my face? Is that
I
why
know,
you
and
remembered?
No. I just was like, what's that faint? And the aircon's quite loud, so I think this will be good.
Gotcha. It does feel good.
So I had asked you, one of the reasons why I wanted you on the podcast was because I had heard you do jokes about being asexual.
I do.
And you're okay talking about that?
Yes, I am.
What exactly for the listeners is, what is being asexual?
The way I like to explain it is basically... You don't seek sex the way an average person seeks sex. Like, intimacy and sex are two different things. And I'm actually demisexual, which is on the scale of asexuality. But for the sake of the joke, a lot of people don't even know what demisexual is, although a lot of people are demisexual. I'll get to that in a moment. But for the sake of the joke, asexuality is the queen bee. Like, everyone knows what it is for the most part. Everyone's confused what it is, but everyone's heard it before. Mm-hmm. I'm demisexual, which is you only feel a sexual connection only after you had an emotional connection with someone. It's two totally different things. If you don't have, and I feel like the culture of sex and dating now is very casual.
Yeah.
And I never understood why I didn't get into the casual sex. I didn't understand why I never had Tinder. I just knew about it, but the thought of it, of just looking at someone's picture, the closest at arm's reach, like that's where you want your next nut, is arm's reach. It blew my mind that people could be so casual about it and not get to know each other. The funny thing is, I've had one night stands and I've met someone and that night, we had a connection and we've hooked up, but... As far as online, that takes away all the emotional aspects that I need. I can't do it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I feel like any one night stand I had, I thought it wasn't going to be a one night stand.
Right.
I feel like I had that like, oh, there's a connection. We're having the crack. We're having a lot of fun.
And it's going to last forever.
Yeah. I'm definitely going to be his girlfriend. And then it didn't. So I think, I understand completely. I need some sort of I couldn't just sleep with someone based on... If they were like gorgeous, but I didn't like their personality, I wouldn't be
you
able
couldn't
to get
do
turned
it.
On.
No, you couldn't do it.
I'd have the ick.
Right.
A bad personality is icky.
When I was younger, I bypassed the ick. I wasn't having any fun.
Yeah.
But I needed a story. And it was cool to be with the hottest guy in the room.
Yeah.
But even as far as having a spark, sometimes you just know it's not going to last forever. Sometimes it's just for the moment. And I live for the moment.
Yeah.
It's almost... It's so backwards because although I don't understand the casual sex and the casual dating, I can like, I understand sparks and I understand having a moment, a fleeting moment.
Yeah.
I think those are two different things.
Yeah.
I think you make the most out of a fleeting moment.
Yeah.
The way the dating culture, you can't make the most out of casual sex.
Yeah.
You just have it and then it's on to the next. But if a fleeting moment, you can make the most of it. You find out about that person, be immersed in that experience, mm-hmm. and move on. Whether whatever happens, happens later. But moving on is my thing. Like, I don't know. And then people ask me, why am I so comfortable with being by myself? Because a lot of people are in relationships because of convenience.
Yeah.
And it's unfortunate. But it's that's the way it is. A lot of people aren't comfortable with being by themselves.
Yeah.
And then we're conditioned, women, to find someone else. And then, but men aren't conditioned to find someone else. So, and then we have all these women who are above average people. And then we have men who are just still in the casual dating mind.
Yeah, and it can be very frustrating for women who have that mindset put on them where it's like you should find a partner, and so they do find a partner, and then all of a sudden they're, you know, the partner, they might be taking on, like, if there's gender roles, they mm-hmm. might be taking on like this extra workload of like their laundry, extra dishes, but they also have a full-time job now.
Yes.
So that can be really frustrating, whereas as that woman might be better off alone,
right?
You know,
right.
Might have been better off just on that, and like, and if you find a partner that does the equal share, yes, that's
right.
Fine. But I do think there is, like, right now, women are getting that, or they're getting the job and then the extra. There's like a book called "Women Starting the Second Shift When They Come Home."
Yeah, yeah.
Like it's not me. Okay, my boyfriend fucking does that. He's great.
That's awesome.
Yeah, yeah. But he's also younger too. We live in New York City, and there's no expectations about kids. There's no pressure.
But as far as like, I feel like cooking and cleaning is just in a people thing. It's not a woman or a man's thing.
No, like, but I think it, for a long time it was put on the women,
right?
So I think ideally you want to be in a relationship where the guy doesn't think of gender roles like that, or
right.
the woman doesn't think of gender roles like that. But I think
now a lot of women are stepping away from that.
Yeah. Yeah, we're like, oh, you want to see what it looks like when the dishes aren't done?
Right.
But I've lived with guys and I've been like, they still, their definition of clean is very different.
Absolutely.
But it's just put in us as a kid. And even my definition of clean isn't probably as clean as some women I've lived
right.
with.
Right.
I think that is all going to change, though. We're like literally nearly over that part of life.
And I think that's why most people need to live at least by themselves, at least for once yeah. in their lives, because then you have to do those things for yourself.
Yeah.
It's not about having a partner and gender roles. It's about getting it done.
Yeah.
You need a safe, clean space. You need to eat when you're hungry. You need to do all those things.
Yeah.
So I just think it's so important to be by yourself. And being asexual, you know, people just assume that I'm alone or lonely, quote unquote, but that's just not the case. I've picked up amazing skills. I've built a great life for myself. I have good friends, great family, and it's just, I just don't see it like that.
Yeah.
I don't think a significant other can make you less lonely. There's people in relationships that are lonely.
I also think sometimes people are in relationships for the wrong, so like, as in, if you're, you know, my therapist would say like, oh, run to the self. And it's something I think about a lot, whereas I think sometimes you're in a relationship to lean on your partner for your emotional problems or
crutches.
Or, yeah,
absolutely.
Exactly. So like, actually, if you learn to like develop that conversation with yourself, or being alone, or spending time, or going for dinner with yourself, that makes for a more healthy, successful relationship in the future. Because like with me and Leland, he's away a lot, I'm away a lot, but we're not like stressed out that the other's away. We're like pretty happy being alone.
Mm-hmm.
So we have like a very independent relationship, and I think that's what makes it work.
Right. What was the longest you've been by yourself, give or take?
Without dating anybody?
Yeah.
Oh, I've always dated casually, at least. But like, I hadn't been in a proper relationship that lasted more than 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
The whole time I was in America, so like maybe 6 years, and I've been with Leland 2 years.
Okay. I think that being by myself actually makes me worse in a relationship.
Oh, really?
I talk a lot of shit. I have these skills and stuff. But I don't think I know how to be in a relationship.
Oh, because you probably don't have to compromise as much when you're alone. And then,
I don't think I know how to. I am up for the try.
Yeah.
But I don't think I know how to. I think it caused a negative effect when even if I do find that person that I want to go to that next step with, I could now do, I don't know. I haven't dated in a while because the culture now is online dating.
Yeah.
And I think online dating is the worst. I think it's game over. And it's just the thing right now. I think online dating brings out the worst in everyone. I think it makes us all superficial.
Yeah.
Well, it made me superficial. The small time, the little time I tried it, I just was like, I don't treat people like this. I'm not this person.
Yeah.
So if you met someone that you wouldn't be straight away attracted to, but then you got to know them and they were really nice, mm-hmm. that would help grow. So that's kind of like demisexual. It would help grow an attraction.
Yes.
Yeah, I feel like I'm definitely that. Because there's like guys who I wouldn't find attractive, but then get to know them and then I find them attractive. Yeah, or guys that I do find attractive and get to know them and I'm like, ugh.
Gross.
Yeah, it's like their physical features change.
Most people are demisexual.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah. It's funny, when I told the joke, I talk about asexuality, and I said, when I was talking to someone, I told them I was asexual, and he was like, oh shit, me too. And it always gets a laugh, but we was talking about demisexuality, and he was like, no, that every time when I talk about it in depth, you could see it in a person's eyes, like, what, that's me?
Yeah.
I think that's me. And it's true. Most people need that emotional connection because sex is intimate.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It shouldn't be so casual. It should be as intimate as it sounds, but it's not.
I think it's like one of those things where like, okay, so yeah, no sex shame, do what you want, all that stuff. But when you know, when you're like too like positive about something, you're not also letting space for to talk about other stuff because it seems like you're being offensive.
Yeah.
Whereas like,
built
I'm
walls.
All, the what?
You built walls.
Yeah,
or
yeah.
Guards.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm all for like if you can be casual and all that stuff. But there are things still to consider that, you know, if you're not able to pick up on phone them the next day, but they were just inside you. It's like, don't forget, it also is like you're becoming one person, and and you know there's like you know you got to be safe, use condoms as well, and then know that the person is a safe person so you don't get murdered.
Yeah.
But there is like high risk versus for the reward, so it's like, it's not crazy to say that casual sex is kind of mental, but also I get it. You know, like whatever you want.
Right.
But it's like, it's funny. We're like, yeah, fuck whoever. And then I'm like, where is my friend? She's just went off with this guy to his house. We don't know him.
You don't have time for the checklist when it comes to casual sex.
Yeah.
But like, you don't.
That's
like,
why fuck
a murderer. Do they have a condom? Are they clean?
Do they
have money for
them?
An Uber? Like, none of those things are on the table. Now, for a fleeting moment, you can check off those things, but you have to know it's a fleeting moment. Tinder don't provide that.
Well, like I'd say, let's say
something like Tinder.
Yeah, sometimes with Tinder, it's like they kind of hit you up late, like you up, so it's like a 2 a.m. thing, and then maybe you're both drunk. But let's say if it's a real life, you've been chatting at a bar.
Yeah,
I like bars because you can have sex with them in the bathroom.
Yeah,
you know, if you're about to get murdered, you scream. There's loads of people.
There's people around.
Most bars in New York have free condoms, so there's no excuse. No, oh babe, I can't go to the store.
See?
You just go to the bar.
Fleeting moment. Check all the boxes.
Have your casual sex in the bar, and then you can go pull up your skirt, whatever, and you go bye, and you don't
keep
have to
your
deal
dignity.
With them.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you don't have to deal with them in your bed for too long, or them being like, do you want me to like call you an Uber or something? After you're like, ugh. Where, casual sex in bars, I'm all for.
Me too. I stamp on that.
Yeah, and I think like, look, you meet someone on an online date and you get to know them and you have sex and all of that stuff. And look, everything is like taking risks. But yeah, I think right now it's a very fast-paced society. Mm-hmm. It's a great society for women. You know, we're starting to...
working women.
Oh, I just mean in general that, you know, we're starting to get rights and stuff like that. Do you know what I mean?
Then again, it's starting
to fall apart in other places.
Right.
But let's just say for me anyway,
we were
I wouldn't want to...
for like 2 years. We're on a good pace.
Yeah, yeah. For me, I'm like, ah, it's pretty nice to be alive right now, you know. Right. The problem with like fast-paced casual sex is everything is fast, and it doesn't give you the chance to really just get to know someone.
Yeah.
And I do think that's nice for me anyway. That helps build the attraction and you know, get a few dates in. And
actually, the best relationships I've been with, the more recent ones, have been long distance. Mm. The ones that have met the most to me have been long distance, where we just talked every day and we couldn't be in contact.
It also builds up a bit of like temptation. It's like a dirty novel.
Oh, please, wet all day, every day.
It's so all exciting. Day, every day.
Absolutely, absolutely. And that's also part of it. That's why it intensifies when you do meet, and then that intimacy is there, and you've already had that building up, and it's just amazing. But the best relationship I've been with, I couldn't touch them.
Yeah, that is exciting.
Mm-hmm. It was just all talk.
Yeah, it's like a build up, like a good movie. Mm-hmm. You don't know who the murderer is. And I guess, like, again,
you're gonna kill this pussy, I'll tell you that much.
And we are talking, I guess, for demisexuals, because the other side of it is, if you're like some like working woman who's like, I don't want ever relationships, but I like to get off like once a month, that's when casual sex, but that has to be someone who knows that. Oof. Whereas I think sometimes we're trying to fool ourselves and be like, I'm okay with casual sex, and you're crying on the phone to your friend. Right. Why didn't you text me? And it's like, because you literally brought him over at 2 a.m. and you said it was okay. So I think it's more just about knowing yourself.
Right.
And even if you know yourself, you don't get offended when people go, oh, I couldn't do that. And it's like, oh, hey, well, that's good for you.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, it just, I think you have to be really honest with who you are and what you are.
And what gets you off. You know, the funny thing is, I said sex and intimacy are two different things for me. And it is. Intimacy is something different, like the relationships I had where it was no sex. But sex to me is porn, and that's how I get off. I watch porn, not regularly, but when I need to get off, and that's about once a week.
Yeah, give porn or take. Is like, porn, obviously, we know has its issues and can be bad, and is when used too much, like poor men are jerking off every fucking hour to porn, and then they can't get off in sex. But in I think porn in moderation is great. Yeah. A safe space to explore your fantasies, to get off, even as a woman.
Mm-hmm. And where you're I feel like that's what it's there for. Yeah. Like, they're putting on a show for me. Yeah, I should sit back and enjoy.
I watch SVU. I'm not a detective. Right. But I get to be like, let me try to figure out this murder, this whatever.
Right. The scenario.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that, I think that gives me my fix, where they are very two different things for me. I need intimacy.
Yeah.
Sex is what it is. People humping and bumping.
Oh, so that leans into the asexuality, because asexuality is you don't need sex.
No. You seek intimacy in different ways.
I see. So you're like, and you know, one of those shows on like Netflix or whatever, where they, I can't remember the name of the show, but they like showed different ways to get off, because these partners were like long term, and they're like, you need to bring this in. And so it'll be like a feather or like games.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's right. So demisexual is then more like an emotional connection and intimacy. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What other ones is there then? There's just sexual?
No, and then there's pansexual.
Pansexual, yes. That's where you're just attracted to the intelligence.
To a person. Oh. No, that's sapiosexual.
Sapiosexual, okay.
Sapiosexual, you're intact. Attracted to their intelligent.
Over, so you gotta go like hang out at a university
or a library, yeah. Or a museum.
Has to have one PhD.
You need a degree.
Yeah.
To get into that.
Yeah. Yes. This is like, you're not qualified enough for this vagina.
Pick another letter. Yeah. You're not the S, baby.
And so then pansexual. Pansexual is just a person. Doesn't matter what gender or how they identify.
Yes.
Cis, not cis, trans, not trans.
Yes. Yeah. And I feel like I like to put it in like a ladder. So it's asexual, demisexual, pansexual. That's how I am.
And then that's it. Is there? It's just a tree.
I don't know.
Oh, no, because then there's sapio.
No, I don't. I think there's more. I think there's more.
Oh, because like, I guess if you're LGBT, that's a different as well, is it? No, but you could be pan and be LGBT.
But so, I was my joke. I've always asked because I don't know a lot about asexuality.
You're a flower.
Yeah.
Flowers are asexual because they don't have sex to produce.
They don't have nothing.
Right.
Oh, they could. They don't need to have sex to reproduce.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I said that, but I forgot to put the ore.
Yeah.
I just said they don't need sex to produce.
To produce.
And you're like, no, that's not the right word.
To produce, to make watermelons.
Yeah. Okay, so you say in your joke, what do you say in your joke?
That, what do I say in my joke? I forgot.
Oh, you say you don't know a lot about asexuality.
I don't, yes. And I say, like, why are asexuals gay? Like, we're part of the gay community. It's the LGBTQIA, which is asexual. But, like, why are we part of the gay community? If someone's, like, I did the latter thing.
Yeah.
So, in the end, I am pansexual. I can be attracted to an opposite sex. But, really, someone who's just asexual, why are they part of the gay community?
Oh, wait, you're pansexual. So, you can be attracted to the same sex.
Yes.
Oh, but, you know, probably part of the LGBTQ...
yeah.
But I guess they do the umbrella of queer now, right? Queer community.
Yes.
It's so funny. I say things here, like things here, like queer community, or like my friends who are minorities, but they would call themselves brown, let's say. So yeah. Like my Latin friends say they're brown, and my Middle Eastern friends say they're brown. And but then when I'm like talking to my Irish friends, and I'm like, oh yeah, my friends are having this like brown picnic, and they're like, are you just being like racist? And I'm like, that's what they say. Or like queer, they're like, I think queer is a, and I'm like, oh my god, Ireland, we need to speed up. New York. So
we don't get it either, though. The community don't get it. We're trying to catch up too.
I wonder if asexuality is in the queer umbrella because it's not quote unquote the majority.
Yes.
So it's like you need to be protected too.
We're different.
Yeah.
That's I think that's why we're part of it. Yeah. We're just different.
Oh, you know what? And I can't find the screenshots. I'm really sorry to whoever wrote this in, but I'm sure they probably wanted to be private anyway. But ages ago when I asked you to be on the podcast and then we just had like scheduling conflicts, someone had wrote in saying that they are asexual and that they want to develop, there's a male and want to develop friendships with women, but every time they do, the women are upset that they don't want a relationship. And I wish I could find the screenshot of the message, but maybe I'll find another day and put it in the end of this properly. But basically, his dilemma was trying to navigate that, like when the person is kind of offended that they're not attracted to them, but they just really want it to be a friendship. Have you ever come across that?
Not so much. Because I look the way I do, people, even when I do want a friendship, people always think sex is on the menu.
Oh, so this is what he's going through.
Does he look good? Is he average?
No, I didn't say it, but whatever it is, apparently whenever he tries to develop a friendship with a woman, they think that it's leading towards sex or a relationship, and he just is asexual. He doesn't want, and it's hard. The friendship isn't real, that they're trying to go for sex, and then they're offended when he's like, no, I'm asexual.
Right.
So that kind of sounds the same as what?
Yeah. You just, I don't, let's see, because I like to have sex.
Okay, yes, yeah, so it's different.
When I do meet that person,
it might be on the table.
Yeah, it can be, but they have to try hard. It's not like you need to put some effort into it.
Yeah.
But with me, even when I don't, I just look very sexy. So people just, and I've looked like this for a very long time. And either people don't believe me, they just think I'm not attracted to them.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, that's probably what this guy's getting.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. It's like when a guy can't get hard and the girl's like, it's me. And he's like, I gotta reassure you just because the blood's not pumping right.
Yeah, right.
It is you. I like you so much that I'm getting anxiety right now. Yeah.
I think that happens to more guys than we think.
Oh, I'd say it's like really common. And every time a person internalizes it, it's every woman listening, it's never you.
It's not.
They're in the room with you. They want to. A lot of time it could be you because they're feeling so much pressure that they're like, they like you or they want to perform, they get in their head. It's so common.
Right. I always get the stories from my friends who's like, he'll send a whole bunch of dirty texts and I'll send them pictures and he gets so excited and he'll ask me for more pictures. And then when I see him, he can't get it up. It's like, well, that's why. It was just too much. It was overstimulation.
Oh, yeah. Like a cat. When you pet a cat too much, eventually they like
Madra doesn't do it, he'll just walk away. But some cats will bite you because you're being overstimulated.
Yeah,
you're lucky he didn't bite you.
Yeah.
Okay, so yeah, so but how did you navigate that with people sexualizing you and then trying to tell you you're not something you're saying you are?
Right.
That's so frustrating.
Yeah.
How fucking dare they?
There was a time I tried to dress it down, but I have a mirror. I know I look good. Yeah. Like, there's some things that just looks nice on me.
Yeah.
And I can't, I'm just gonna do it. And as far as guys, I don't date. I don't date because of that. If they don't understand asexuality, the ones that are smart and get it will stick around for us to get to know each other, see where it goes. But the ones that are just in there for just sex, it kind of protects you in a way.
Yeah, I was literally thinking, God, that's actually kind of amazing in a way, because I've had so many guys be friends with me, and then when they realize it's going nowhere, it's not going to a sexual place, just like drop me like a hot fly. Or when I've gotten a boyfriend, lose guy friends.
Right.
You're like, that's such a, we were waiting for a year?
Right.
Fuck me?
Right. Yeah. And, I kind of stay away from those guys. I think I put out a certain energy.
Mm-hmm.
That's why when they don't believe me, I'm like, do I even? I think I don't do the apps. I don't really talk about dating. I just started talking about asexuality because I just found out what I was. There was years where I didn't want anything.
Yeah.
And then I met someone who wasn't my type. And it was like rushing waters. It was like, oh my God, I had to have this person.
Yeah.
And they weren't my type. And then that person was like, I told him, before you, I'm pretty sure I was creeping into an asexual stage. And he was like, I think you're demisexual, which is after you meet someone and then all of a sudden there's a sexual attraction. And then this was like 2 years ago. I was like, oh shit, when I read the definition, I was like, yep, that's me.
How long did you date that person for?
Not long at all. It was on and off. I had no business dating this person.
Oh, really?
They wasn't available.
Oh, yeah, that's attractive.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, I don't think, I know it, me and Leland, because I like more like dominant, kind of like abusive-y type of guys. Like,
really?
Like really like, it's just something like, it's like some sort of childhood trauma where if they throw a dish, it means they love me, you know? And so... like, and just the, and also I really like guys who on different ones where they were like held court, like kind of the loud ones, like the talkative, like
assertive, very macho,
sociable. Not even, I guess they were a little macho in one way, because like when I look at all my exes, they were either kind of like brooding but like emotional problems, but also like tried to take court in conversation, so kind of like loud and sociable.
Yeah.
And like Leland's not like that at all. He's kind of quiet, but he's very sweet. And then when I look back, I'm like, that's crazy that was my type.
That you like that.
Yeah, right. But like when I got to know him, I was like, oh, actually, it's nice someone just taking care of you and being like nurturing.
Also, sexuality is a journey.
Yeah.
We go through stages. That's also what helped with the confusion.
Yeah.
Because I couldn't explain it. I thought I was lying too. I'm like, maybe I'm not asexual. Maybe I just don't like anyone around me. Like, maybe they're all ugly. Like, like maybe I'm the problem. But then I realized, no, it's a journey. You could be at one phase in your life and then turn out another phase in your life. And I see that in examples all around us. Girls, almost every girl went through a lesbian phase in college.
It's true. And then
bisexual
phase.
And we're just like, and we then, accept that.
And then people are like, well, it's not really bisexual because you didn't have a relationship. And you're like, okay.
No, I ate pussy.
Yeah. I
had lips on my lips.
It's funny though how people try to label or take it away. And you're like, whatever, who cares? Like, I like the idea of a journey. It's like things. And you do change what you're attracted to as you get older too. Like what becomes more important is more like, okay, reliability versus a fantastic jawline.
Right.
When you're 21, you're like, jaw's nice.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. And then you look for different things. Like right now in a relationship, I look for intimacy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't look for the sex.
Yeah.
So, but later on, right now, I'm reaching my sexual peak. That's why I know it's asexuality. Because although I'm reaching my sexual peak, I still don't want to do the casual sex.
Yeah.
I still don't want to be on Tinder. I still don't want to be superficial with who I'm dating.
And it's on Tinder or any Hinge is a little better, but even then it's not, you can't find
online dating is, I think it's what's going to bring us down unless you pay for it. Like there's the eHarmony and the Match.coms where you pay for it and it's a little better, but even so, man, it takes out all the real aspects of meeting people.
You can't find as well the qualities that you want because the only way to find those qualities is by dating someone for a few months, you know? And I think people are quick to cut people off and not give them a chance. Yeah. And there's just someone next around the corner.
We have no time for one another anymore.
And people grow. Like, even my relationship is, Leland has grown so much and I've grown so much in that. But if we didn't give each other the time and the mistakes and the, whereas, it's easy to like be a month in and be like, nah, it's fucking, I can't be bothered. But I also get that too. It's hard. It's like, I also get like, if you're not feeling it, to cut it out. But I feel like if you meet someone and they've got great qualities and you're like, oh, I could see like a friendship really developing and I could be sexually attracted, then if you're looking for a long-term relationship, that's someone to pursue instead of being like, well, I don't know, I think I should go back on and get someone who's 6'4".
Like, okay, I don't even, when I meet people, it's almost always a friendship thing first.
Yeah. I think it's really good.
I don't really date. Yeah. I don't date. I don't, because dating is meeting someone to become your significant other. Mm-hmm. I date for friendships. Yeah, that can be if we're both at a space where we want to make something more out of it. But as far as meeting people, it's all friendship first.
Yeah.
It's all a friendship first.
I think friendship is best too. If, again, this is just for people who are going for long-term relationships, because you just respect each other more. It's like, well, you were my friend. Like, I know how you react to things. I know how you are. And you might not flip off the like, let's say if it's your friend and you know that this person isn't like someone who would like cheat or whatever, then when you date you can trust them more. Then like if you see a name like Michelle pop up, you're not going to just project all your exes on them. You're like, well, this is John, I've known John for a while, he's not the type, I'm sure it's just, or you know more about their background, you're like, oh, I know Michelle's a sister, so you have a mild panic attack,
right?
I think the only other problem with that is sometimes you develop a friendship and you're like, this is so good, I don't want to ruin it
with sex. Sex is it can ruin good, a friendship. But it's very bad. Well, and then it's like, why would it ruin a friendship? Because it's so intimate.
Yeah, and it just adds more feelings.
Yeah.
I think for me anyway, again, it depends on the person you're, because some people compartmentalize. I can't. Not sex. So again, it just depends on who you are and knowing and what you want. Like we're both talking about, I always wanted a relationship. Yours is different.
Yeah.
Again, but neither wanting casual sex.
And I just feel like dating puts, it's like almost you're interviewing a person. Yeah. It's like a significant other interview. It's a lot of pressure.
It is a lot of pressure.
It's a lot of pressure. And I've tried online dating. But I've realized, like, what am I doing here? All these people, I don't really want to try them out. Mm-hmm. Like, we're going to go on a date and talk about what? We're going to talk about if we're good for each other forever. For the rest of, like, what? That's so much pressure. Let's go out. Let's go bowling and bring a friend. I'll bring some friends and we'll talk. And we could do that a couple times. And if it happens, it happens. But as far as picking and choosing and judging their features, and it's just, I just see it so different the way most people see it.
I like what you said about interview. That is true, because if you're going for an interview, you're on your best behavior. And then if you're feel like you're in the trial period of a job, you're on your best behavior. So when you meet someone off online, you date, and then you date for six, you don't really get to know that person maybe till like 6 months. But at least if you date someone that you've been chatting with, who's a friend of a friend, you've met a couple of times out over the space of a year, you've vibed with, they were just themselves.
Right.
Because they had nothing to lose. They weren't trying to pursue you. Right. So then when you start to date, you already have like a leg up.
You have that real person that you're dating, not the fake interview person or the online person. Everyone's online is someone different. I was someone different online.
You can be whoever you want.
Yes.
And then you start to see the cracks. I remember I was dating a... He tells me to say Russian. He's not Russian. He's from a country near there. I wonder if now, if he heard this years later, he might be like, actually, don't say Russian. But it was more just to hide his identity, but it's a very similar accent and a very similar...
Was he James Bond?
He covered the cameras on his phone, and he was very paranoid. And you know, because apparently the government's watching some guy in New Jersey.
Him. yeah.
But yeah, he was very paranoid. But it was funny, like, dating him, and then it was quite intense. But then, as you start, like, let's say month 3 to 4, that's when we broke up. But because it was really intense the first 3 months, but month 3 to 4 was when I started to really realize that this was just a pretense of a person, because then the paranoia really came out.
Yeah.
And what he like thought about the government, and how he thought space was fake, and he had like pills for an STD he didn't tell me about. But all of this was like, he had presented a person that wasn't real.
That
like,
wasn't that.
Yeah,
sure.
And then all of a sudden it's like, space isn't real. He'd said I love you before he told me space wasn't real. So
unhinged.
Yeah. And it was just a lot of crazy in the space of month 3 to 4. But I feel like it's because he had let down this guard, and it was like, whoa, this is not the person I was. This is the person that seems smooth and cool and confident.
Online dating will get you every time.
And, oh, you know what? That wasn't online, though. I forgot, actually. That was a guy at a bar asked for my number.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Don't ruin guys at bars for me.
Yeah, well, I was working and he asked for my number. I will say, though, the only advice with that is I was so quick to rush into relationships.
Yeah.
Then I should have just gotten to know him. I should have just once a week, slow. But I was just, even the first date lasted over 24 hours, you know, and I just felt like an instant connection.
Was it love bombing?
Maybe. Yeah. I mean,
like,
probably.
Like, I can't have enough of you. I need you right now. You're the.
Oh, yeah. I've had a couple of guys say, I've never met anyone like you, which is like, and then we broke up after 3 months. One guy was like, I was saving sex for someone special because he said he hadn't had sex in 2 years. And I completely fell for that and slept with him like on the second night. And when we dated for 3 months, but then it turns out that the first date we had, some girl had come into the bar where we worked, and I had just started working there. So I wouldn't have known any of the background drama. And he had a fight with her and she left. And then he was like, okay, you come to grab a drink. And then she kept calling him. And I was like, look, is that your girlfriend? And he was like, no, this is just some crazy chick who is like obsessed with me. And like, I don't know what she was even thinking. She just came with an overnight bag. Like, I'm not dating her. Now, me, as gullible as I was a few years ago, was like, okay, like, that's kind of intense. And then when I broke
crazy
up with him.
Crazy bitch.
Yeah, when I broke up with him, one of the girls at the bar, who I don't know why she didn't feel like she should tell me before
this.
But she was like, I didn't want to say before because I didn't want to get involved. And I just figured you knew, but like, it looked like you had just stolen that girl's boyfriend because they were together and she had an overnight to go to his house because she was dating like with him.
Was that your first date? That was that first?
That was our first date. She had arrived in. And so he had just decided, because he had asked me out earlier in the bar. That was the first day I'd worked at the bar. And he had asked me out earlier on. Like, we just totally vibed. He was Irish.
Little
we were like,
boyfriend
banter,
stealer.
Banter. But as far as I knew, he was fucking single. Because that's what he told me. And so when she arrived in, he had already decided to go on a date with me. So he just pulled her aside and just was like, it's over. Isn't that crazy?
Fuck your overnight bag.
And then to me, then the next night, because we hung out like the whole night and he stayed over, but we didn't have sex. And the next day he was like, you know, I haven't had sex for 2 years. And this is like that. He just stole the line from Friends. Remember
right?
That guy who was like,
no, but I know the line very well.
Yeah, from Friends, where this guy pretends he didn't have sex because of his ex. And then Monica's like, oh, I popped his cherry. And then some girl at work's like, no, I popped his cherry. So this guy just lied to me because he obviously was sleeping with his girlfriend.
Right.
Oh my God, I was such a fool. But
we all can be.
I know.
Everybody,
especially when you really
fool.
It felt like love at first sight too. I remember when I walked in, I was like, oh my God, this guy's stunning. And then he had an Irish accent. Mm-hmm. And oh, it was total love bomb. Yeah. He like borrowed money off me early on. And I've talked about him before on the podcast too. But yeah, it is amazing how you just like can be so fooled, especially when you want it, when you really want to be loved and you really want a relationship. But when you really want to be loved, that's when you don't love yourself.
That is true.
You're not spending time with yourself.
That
you're
is true.
Looking for validation outside of.
You don't have a clear head.
Yeah, because all the men I dated was just to fulfill a void. I wanted to know someone could love me and that they would have my back. But that all came from, you know, having to take care of my mother and her never, you know what I mean? She's like, on a different planet. But it was only until I started like focusing on myself. And even stand up is some form of validation as well.
Yes, it is.
And you kind of do it, you know, hoping you'll do well and then hoping yeah, whatever people will see and be like, oh, you're doing well. And mm-hmm. you get to a point through therapy where you're like, I'm doing this because I like it and I don't need the validation. Right. And then you get into a healthy relationship. It's amazing. Game changer. But yeah.
Yeah, it helps. And actually, I could tell you this story because it was the last time I had sex. And it was the spur of the moment. It was on my birthday last month in Dominican Republic. And the guy was deaf, impaired, and I just met him, and we had sex in the ocean.
Oh my God.
In front of everyone.
I love this. Wait, how did you get that? How did you get to communicate if he...
Oh, baby, we did not need words. We met on an island. I needed a lighter to smoke, and I went and asked him. He told me he was deaf, but he still helped me find a lighter, and we smoked together, and he drew his name on the sand. And I was like, oh, baby, that's exactly what I need. And then we ended up smoking together, eating together. And then I met him in the ocean. And literally, when I met, he just pulled his arms around me. And that was it.
And how does this, so if you're, let's say, with the, is this when it comes with the journey of sexuality?
Yes.
Because you were demisexual before you met this man. And you were like, all I needed was a man who wasn't going to speak to me.
No, all I needed was some kind of... thing, yeah. Some kind of spark. Like, he was really into me, and I didn't understand why, but it's because he was a smoker too. Like, yeah. He knew I was on vacation. I told him it was my birthday. Like, he lived there. He was a boat engineer, and it just felt right. Yeah. There was no plan. There was no nothing. There was not even a thought. But it felt right, and it was right. And it was probably one of the most beautiful experiences I've
That's
ever had.
That's amazing. Mm-hmm. That, like, it doesn't feel like that falls, like, under a dip. But that kind of falls under a casual sex umbrella, though.
It does. But remember, I said I like fleeting moments.
Yes, yes. You were like, this is special. This is unique. This is different. He spelled his name in the sand.
Yeah, I knew his name. Come on. I went with the flow.
Yeah.
And it's just so much easier to go with the flow where the pressure's not there. You know what you like. You know what you don't like. Mm-hmm. You know, it was just...
You were vibing.
Yeah.
I feel like demisexual is vibing too.
It is.
You're reading vibes.
It is.
And then sex in the ocean. I don't think you can use a condom in the ocean, can you? Oh my God!
The crazy thing is, I found out at that moment that I'm totally into voyeurism.
Like, oh, getting seen.
Watch me.
Wow.
And then, but it totally made me realize that's why I like porn. I like watching people have sex. Yeah. I like watching good people have sex.
This could
good
open people have up sex. A whole new door for you. You could do sex clubs and
try
that out. So, like you said, it's a journey. You might identify in this box, but then something happens, you're in this box. And
yes.
So not boxes, because it's like a slide.
It's a spectrum.
A spectrum. I was thinking rainbow and I was like, that doesn't sound right, but it's spectrum.
Yeah. Asexuality is definitely a spectrum.
Yeah, yeah. And then so, have you been tested?
Yeah.
Okay, thank God. Why could you fucking random guys in the ocean? You're like, it's beautiful. And I'm like, your mother, like, you need to go to the doctor.
It's funny. You're a good friend because all my friends was like, girl, go to the doctor.
But it's like, it is fun to let yourself go. Yeah. And I think holidays is the one. That's why holidays are so great for relationships, like long-term relationships. Because we've been together 2 years. We've never had we're going to Puerto Rico next week.
Nice. But it's gonna good be island. The first, sexy island.
Yeah. It'll be the first. I won't have sex with a stranger in a monogamous relationship.
Unless he's into it.
I mean, maybe. He probably won't be. He's way more wilder than I am. That's why I wonder with sexuality. I think the longer we're together, who knows what'll happen. But I already know he's way more open to things. I'm not. But I feel like we put ourselves in this, like, I don't do this. And then you grow 5 years and you're like, oh, I'll never ski. And then 5 years, I won't be, but that's a bad analogy. What's a good analogy? Like, I wouldn't do this, but then
why won't you ski? What's wrong with ski?
I'm terrified. These white people are crazy.
That is true. Don't get hit by Gwyneth Paltrow.
What the fuck? They're skiing. Skiing's mental.
On the snow.
It's like they're so It's like only rich people ski, and I know it's not just. Ski. I'm just joking about white people. It's not just white people, but only rich people ski because they like can afford to break their leg.
Yeah,
I can't be flying down a mountain with sticks on my feet. That's crazy.
That is.
But no,
I will try it.
You know, if I had enough money and I had really good health insurance, maybe. But I probably wouldn't if I didn't have those things. I'm pretty, though. I'm like consequences. I like that. Like, yeah. I probably wouldn't have been able to enjoy the sex in the ocean because I would have been like, where's the condom?
Right.
But so.
Nah, not me.
Huh?
Not me.
Yeah, which is great.
Demis live on the edge.
This is great. Yeah. I think, but yeah, for relationships, a vacation is really good because you get to just go away and be in a different place.
And also with the right partner, you feel comfortable about the journey. The journey is... You have less worries with a partner that you feel comfortable with. Like, you know, it's just, it's different.
Like, I don't want to do a threesome and I would never, I probably won't. But also, when I've always said I'd never do it, I've just also never been in a relationship where I trust my partner that if he were to say, oh, let's include this, it doesn't mean I like them more or I'm going to leave you. So I can see how partners who've built up a lot of trust are able to do that.
I am all about the right partner.
Yeah, because then I think in a wrong partner, it would be a lot of jealousy or else just knowing what they're capable of. Like, I'm not right now, but maybe in 10 years, who knows? I might be like so secure and like want to spice it up. But like, if you had asked me that question like 3 years ago, I would have been like, never. That's crazy to me. I'm like, that's mad. These people are amazing.
What? Skiing? Gross.
Yeah, you're going to see me skiing in a few years. This was really good. We should wrap this up. Where can people find you?
You can find me on IG at V, that's funny. V-E-E, that's funny. Same thing with TikTok. That's where I'm at. And V-Lince on Facebook.
Thank you so much for sharing all of this.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, of course. This was so much fun. Thank you to the Patreons. Thank you for the patience with me finding the fan. And I'm excited for next week's artwork, whatever it's going to be. And please, if you're not on the Patreon, sign up to Patreon.com/The Shift Podcast. The episodes are up there 2 weeks early. And then I do solo podcasts and just bonus with myself where I talk about movies or just like my private stories that I don't want out. You know, where you're just like...
Tell me about it.
Yeah. Where you're just like, this is like... Which is strange for a podcaster to say this is private, but it's like, I don't know. We'll just keep this here. But also as well, when guests are on, you're like also trying to talk to them. And yeah, so... Yeah. But yeah, so please sign up and rate, review. And other than that, I love you all. Thank you so much. Bye. Thank you so much.
Are you kidding? Thanks for having me.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.